peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out, but I know the one who has and makes it all good. And that's what we are celebrating as we kick off a brand new season of Good Things Radio podcast. Lots of good things lined up in this program alone, in this season coming up, which I'll share more about at the end of the show today. This is episode number 147. So on today's show, a major announcement. We're going to start with that. Thank you, first of all, for being here, for checking it out, for walking along with us and sharing a couple exciting things that are coming up on today's show. And I think you're going to like it. We're going to do something relating to books and back to school. We're also going to get you squared away with a giveaway and a coupon code exclusively for you, for Good Things Radio listeners. And actually, too, an author friend of mine has a brand new book out, and it's dealing with young adults and dating. I just think this is such an underserved category, so I'm very grateful for her, Christian Witness, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and how you can get a free offer that she's putting out there for you today, and that's where the giveaway comes in. Plus, a few new additions to our favorite things, a TV series that I've been enjoying, so we are packed. Let's get to it. Let's jump on in.
Hello, Brooke. I just want to say happy, happy, happy birthday to you. I wish you many, many, many blessings today and all the year through. Your last podcasts were fantastic. Thank you so much for having Linda and Father Nathan on, Dr. Angela. Your wisdom and your encouragement to be faithful is amazing. So thank you, and wishing you blessings for the rest of the year. Take care, Brooke. Bye.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Yes. Oh, that too. I turned 40, by the way. So many of you reached out, and I just feel like a big hug, really blessed. And I did get a couple AARP jokes, by the way. So I feel like, oh, I'm getting to that age. But I just feel a lot like I did when I was 39. So I guess the good thing is there was nothing major when that decade flipped over. And I just feel like I did when I was still in my 30s. But I'm very grateful. And also, Lisa, I want to thank you for mentioning the last episode. It talked about what's happening in the church, how to rebuild my church. That was the mission God gave to St. Francis in a time that it was falling down, literally and figuratively. And we went into that in the last episode. So that's number 146. If you haven't heard it and have a chance to check it out. Thank you again so much, Lisa.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Okay, so major announcement time. Here we go. It is time to reveal what is behind door number one. And I've been waiting and waiting, chomping at the bit to tell you this. So last year, at this time, a lot of energy was being dedicated toward a project called Choose Joy. Over 35 contributors sharing their stories, their witnesses of how they chose joy in very difficult circumstances. And it's been an amazing ride. I've also learned a lot. And we sold, I think it's over 2,000 copies, which to me is astonishing when you think of the fact that we're not signed under any major publishing house, that we didn't really have a big marketing budget or anything like that. And so it's you taking this book, the devotional, and saying yes, and the living, breathing souls that were reading the stories and supporting the project. So I just thank you for that. And the reason that ties into this big announcement is because through the months, many of you have asked, will there be another book and what's coming up next? And so we've heard that request. I've taken that to the altar because I wasn't sure. I've had myself a lot of
ups and downs this year with finding out that I was pregnant joyfully, unexpectedly, and then losing our baby at almost 13 weeks and just really feeling thrust into a time of uncertainty with where the Lord was asking me to go. And so I took this before the altar. I asked the Lord in obedience to show me if this is His will, open the doors. And He has opened those doors wide open to hope. So that's what's happening. This is the announcement. The book is in the works. It's another devotional. It's called Choose Hope. And this time we have close to 50 contributing authors. And wait until you hear their names and stories. I know that you're going to love them. And I didn't want to do this alone. I couldn't. There was no way. I knew that. And so that was part of my prayer as well. And in making this announcement, I want to bring that big piece of the puzzle to you. And that is a friend of mine, a special guest on the program, who's going to help us open the pages and go inside this book and give you a little sneak peek. You're hearing it here first. And she is our managing editor. She's the author of numerous books, including maybe best known for The Great American Supper Swap, Solving the Busy Woman's Family Dinner Time Dilemma. Also a speaker, an assistant professor at Walsh University, and now my partner with this book, Choose Hope, a 52-week devotional. And she's my friend, Trish Berg. I sat down with her to help bring you kind of part two of this announcement. Take a listen. Welcome to the show, Dr. Berg.
Thanks for coming. It's great to see you again, Brooke.
It is. And it's exciting because as we were just talking off the air a little bit, it's bringing back memories from how we first met. You as an author of the book, The Great American Supper Swap, which was such a revolutionary idea to me as a young mom, because it was about making dinners easier.
Right.
And I think now as a mom of five, I think I maybe had two then. What a beautiful blessing that was. And finding out as an author, me working in Cleveland, morning show co-host, and having you on the program that you were in Ohio. And who would have thought all these years later, this author that I admired and a columnist at the time as well, and you wrote a few books, we brought you in for an event where you spoke, that now we would be working together on this project. So I just wanted to say thank you and welcome to Choose Hope.
Oh, thank you so much. It has been a fun journey with you. I was thinking back to our first meeting was, I think, a phone interview for The Fish. And yeah, it's been great. And I've really enjoyed getting to know you and your passion for really ministering to women and really pointing them towards Christ. And it's just, I admire it so much. I'm so excited to be a part of this faithful team.
I think we have a similar heart there. And you were a part of Choose Joy. And in the end, you even stepped in and helped proofread, because this was the first endeavor I had ever ventured out to do like that. And I would be remiss if I didn't also mention our amazing partner in Choose Joy, Catherine Zerdy. She was so instrumental. It's hard to even talk about her without a lump in my throat, not having ever done this, as I mentioned, and researching every aspect of it, organizing, reaching out to the printer. And it did take a lot of time, but man, what a blessing, an angel she was. So she was able to help get it off the ground. She's not able to do it this time, but with your expertise and your involvement in the last project, coming together and receiving the feedback from the readers of Choose Joy, we knew that we had to do another book. So the title of the book is going to be Choose Hope. And it's all about Hebrews chapter 14:8, as we are encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil. So I thank you for that and to be able to do this with us. And I want to ask you, I guess, your thought process in being a part of the first project. What made you want to come along and be a part of this one of Choose Hope?
I think the first thing that really attracted me to this project was the team of amazing women that you've already assembled. You've got an amazing team of editors and ministry leaders. To be a part of that is just an amazing blessing. I think the message of the first book of Choose Joy is so needed today. Life is so chaotic. There's so much stress. There's so much pressure, especially on women. And this book is for men or women. And going forward on Choose Hope, there's just so many amazing writers that we have with stories. And when you think of your friend who had to get through a challenging time and chose hope, and you think of a cousin or an aunt, and we all know these stories. We've heard them from people we know. now we have these amazing writers who are willing to open up and be transparent and share their journeys with us. And we can see our own hope reflected in their stories. So I think the message really drew me to the project. And I'm just so excited to see how many people this is going to be able to touch and really minister to.
I wanted to key in on a few things that you mentioned there. One is the fact that this is for men and women and young men and women. Older, all ages and demographics. And I believe that Choose Joy was as well. But even in looking at the diversity of the contributors that we have, even more than for Choose Joy, we do live in a time where we see these phrases, God is good, His mercies are new every morning. I'm wearing a shirt today that says Choose Joy. But I have to say, in the muck and in the darkness, there are no quick phrases that pick me up. They're imprinted in my heart, but it's hard to make them come alive and on fire when I'm really struggling. And the things that do help me are thinking of people that I know who have been there and done that and have been able to still worship in the midst of darkness and losing everything. And it's not like this is a sad book, but it does give true life witnesses, people who have been through the valley and how the Lord has walked with them in very intimate, direct ways, because we know that our Father is a God of personal love. In this culture, we need those personal connections again. So I don't know about you, but I definitely feel that in the witnesses of our contributors. Do you sense that as we're moving along?
I do. And I think this book, as well as Choose Joy, but I think Choose Hope is a balance. I think we're going to have some of these reflections and these stories that touch your heart, may leave you with a lump in your throat when you relate to their story. But I think we're going to have some lighthearted Choose Hope stories as well. So it's a great balance. And I think that's the quilt of life, that you have both moments. Then you have those moments where you just have to think, okay, God must have a really good sense of humor to have gotten me through this. We moved my son into college yesterday, my third child to go to college, and those tears are bittersweet, they're joy-filled, and you do at the end of the day when you leave him there, we didn't even get a chance to meet his roommate, you just, okay, Lord, I'm going to choose hope, and he's going to be great, and you're with him. So those are more of the lighthearted stories that we all share as well.
I want to get to the fun stuff, which is really touching on these names, these authors, because to me, it's a reminder of how we think we're in control. We have our planner, we've got things, and then some things happen that remind us, oh my goodness, Lord, this was your plan all along. I had no idea, and I'm not in control as much as I thought. And in a good way, that has happened with this project. I am astounded at the people who have said yes, their stories, and I know what will come, what we are already receiving in the early manuscripts that we've received in the drafts. So I want to just kind of go through the list. Impossible, because we've got about 50.
Right.
So just to maybe cherry pick a few here, I'm just going to start right now at the top of the list. I've starred Angel Aloma, and he is the executive director of Food for the Poor, a global ministry, and has been all over the world. He is from Cuba and has lived all over. He's washed the feet of prisoners in Haiti. He has been in the garbage dumps in Guatemala and all over the world, bringing hope. And so he's going to share that story. And I know you've got a few highlighted as well.
Yeah, I was super excited to reconnect with Sherry Kagi. And Sherry Kagi, I've known for years, back when I was writing and doing more women's events. Sherry and I had become friends, and we've stayed friends throughout the year, but we haven't reconnected. So I was able to give her a call and share a little bit about this project and invite her to consider and prayerfully think about being a part of it. And of course, she said yes, and we were super excited. Sherry is a Christian recording artist. She's ministered through music and testimony for over 20 years. I met her through a ministry called Hearts at Home when we were both speaking for Hearts at Home years ago. And one of the conversations that I had with Sherry, which I think was very important to kind of get across with this book is to reach all kinds of people with all kinds of faiths. And I think among our authors, we have faithful, devout Catholics, we have Baptists, we have Lutherans, we have evangelical authors. So we've got this network of people from different denominations of Christianity. And I think that's really going to give it strength, because we all worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We have more in common than not. And so I was super excited to get Sherry on board. We also have a little bit of a Walsh connection. Of course, I teach here at Walsh University. And we also have Dr. Chad Gerber, his wife Jen, and daughter are a part of the project. And also Dr. Phil Kim, who's one of my colleagues here in the DeVille School of Business. And so we kind of have this great group of people who don't yet know each other, but yet they're on this shared journey through this book.
And in intellectuals, Chad is an Oxford graduate, an Augustine theologian, and as well as Dr. Kim, you, I mean, what an amazing group. And I think that's the joy of the diversity is there are many that are stay-home moms, and you might not know their names. And it's exciting because if someone hears, oh, Jeff Cavins or Lisa Hendy or Sherry Kagi, they're in this book, so I want to see it. But you're also going to hear stories from people that need to be spotlighted, that live ordinary lives in extraordinary ways with faith that is a witness to the world. And one of them that I can mention is my friend Ashley Lundvall. She is a young woman that was from the Midwest, moved out to Wyoming to work in a summer camp, a Christian camp, and was up in a barn baling hay, fell, and landed on a pitchfork. She was then completely paralyzed, but now has started so many things. I want to name a couple of initiatives like the Disabled Hunters of America, but really it is her faithful witness day in, day out. She's in a wheelchair. Through that experience of being paralyzed, was able to bring hope to so many. And you just think, if that happened to me, how would I be able to hold on to hope as my anchor? Without an anchor, we are just flowing in the storm and ready to be capsized. But with an anchor, we have firm foundation holding us there through it. And she's got a really great story. There's also Father Nathan Cromley. He's in the book again. Oh, Sister Mary Rose and Sister Maria Stella, which is their names they go by with nun and nunner. There is, we mentioned the light part of it. Right. I don't know what their stories will be, but they are beautiful and respectful, and they go around and they especially minister to youth as the characters, Sister Mary Rose and Sister Maria Stella, and they pour truth and life and beauty. They take secular songs and they make them Christian, and they then couple it with a great message, and they have their own testimonies as well. So it's just such a fun group of people. Oh, Rebecca Dussault, we had her on the show as well. She is an Olympian. She won the United States Winter Olympian cross-country ski medal, world champion, athlete, fitness trainer, motivational speaker, Melody Lyons.
Yeah, I think it's really great that you mentioned that we have not only these amazing writers and ministers and singers with their own platforms already, but we have your next door neighbor and your Aunt Susie and people that you will recognize because you know people just like them and they have a story to tell. I'm thinking of my dear friend Amy Dodez, who's a contributing author to this book, and she is a mother of two and wife to Mark, and they lost their daughter to cancer when she was 9 years old. And that was about 6 years ago. And so they're dear friends of ours, and we've journeyed with them through that process. And I know watching them choose hope every day, just making that choice to go down that path. And so I'm so excited to see who she can minister to. So we have such a diverse group, from wise ministers to stay-at-home moms to everything in between.
Yeah, and you hear the phrase lean in, embrace, embrace when you're fatigued, embrace when you're suffering. In these life circumstances, people are doing that, and you're able to see, okay, well, this is how she embraced her fatigue today and was able to get up. And you mentioned Amy Dodez, and that is such a deep forever sorrow. And so to learn, it's not just to momentarily edify you, but to dispense hope that will give you strength and tools to carry on. And as someone I wanted to mention that I forgot is Brother Richard, Brother Richard Hendrick. He's one that my jaw was just hanging open. He said, yes, Lord. And I follow him on social media as a writer. He is a Franciscan Capuchin in Ireland. He is the guardian of Ards. There's a friary there in Ireland and has agreed to also contribute and write in our book. There's also Lisa Hendy. There's Michelle Fainley and Emily Jaminet. They've been on the show and have several books out, the latest being The Friendship Project. And this is just a taste. I guess then as we conclude, because I wanted to tell you what was behind door number one, this is it. And of course, as we walk through this process, we beg your prayers and also have a couple dates that we're shooting for. And the biggest probably is November 20th. 24th. That is our official book launch, because we want to get it out before the season of Advent. So like the other book, it follows the liturgical year, whatever faith tradition you happen to be in, but that's our hope. So as you see these reflections coming in, do you have any final takeaway words that you want to share of what people can expect?
I think that this book will touch so many people in different ways because, as I said, there's such a diverse group of amazing co-authors to this project. It's amazing how God pieces this together. And through prayer and trust, he's just brought the right people to this project for this time. And he already knows who these reflections are going to touch. He already has handpicked the people that are going to read something and really feel that that was written for them. And so it's amazing to just allow God to use us through this project to do that. I'm reminded of a talk I once gave many years ago, probably about 8 years ago. It was supposed to be a humorous talk. It was supposed to be fun, loving, and lighthearted. And here I was with about 150 women in the audience and was really having fun. And I felt the Lord and the Holy Spirit just nudging me, share your story of miscarriage, share your story of miscarriage. And I brushed it off. We had a lunch break. I kept brushing it off. About two-thirds of the way through the day, it was just shouting in my head that this is something he wanted me to do. I took a deep breath and I apologized to the audience and said, I really need to share something I wasn't planning to share. And I really feel this is coming from God and he must have someone here that needs to hear this. And I shared my heartfelt story of and cried on stage and opened myself up. And the event was done. The women left and there was one young woman left. And she came up to me at the end and just told me that was meant for me. She had just had a miscarriage earlier that week. Her mom had kind of dragged her kicking and screaming to this event just to get her out of the house. And it was one of those times in my life when I really felt God purposefully using me for his will in a concrete, realistic way that I could see, because he uses us all the time, but to see it, to see that dot connected right there. And so I feel like that's what this book is going to do. There are going to be people who read these stories who feel like that was written for me. And so I'm just so excited to be a part of this and so humbled to be a small part of this amazing team and all of these amazing authors who are willing to do what I did on that stage. They're willing to open up their hearts and be transparent with times in their life that are challenging, lighthearted, sorrow-filled, that through all of these experiences, we can all choose hope.
And with the realization that our Abba Daddy is there, that's the question so often is, where are you, Lord, when something happens? And to see tangible ways, this woman saw where the Lord was through you and your message. And you saw in him allowing you to be blessed by knowing your story reached that bullseye right into the heart of where he was sending you. And so I just thank you for your yes. And I think the readers of Choose Joy who requested more, also, you know, humbly beg for prayers as we continue on this project and to share with others that you know might need a dose of hope that this will be coming up. And thank you, Trish, for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been great to see you in person. We talk so much through Voxer and email and everything. So it's so great to see you face to face and get to do this.
Okay. And I'll catch you on Voxer.
Bye. Thanks, Trish.
So there it is. And again, a big thank you to my friend Trish Berg. It is with great hope that we walk through this process. We put this work together and deliver it hopefully into your arms this November. So again, just I guess the biggest thing at this point is humbly asking for your prayers that the Lord will take this project, every detail, every word along the way, and use it for his glory and to serve his purpose.
Hi, I'm Kristen Tiber, author of At the Well, Discovering God's Plan for Finding True Love. The book is a journey through Genesis 24, the story of Isaac and Rebecca, and encourages singles to seek God at the well in dating and eventually marriage. When I wrote this book, I wrote it with college students and single Christians in mind, but what I found was that parents were telling me they wanted their teenagers to read it and start in the right direction when it comes to love, dating, and marriage. So with that in mind, I created the Parents Pack to accompany the book. The Parents Pack has three PDF resources for parents of teenagers. They are 10 Bible verses and accompanying prayers to pray over your teenager's relationships, 10 conversation starters to talk to your teen about dating, and an At the Well book club leader's guide. This is intended for a group, but is easily adapted for one-to-one parent and teen. These resources are free PDF downloads when you purchase a print or ebook copy of At the Well. My hope is that the resources will draw parents and teens closer to one another and to God, and allow parents to be part of their teenager's journey in going to the well to seek God when it comes to relationships. I'm so excited to offer this to our friends at Good Things Radio, and I hope it's a blessing to you. You can learn more at www.kristentiber.com.
So that is my beautiful friend, blogger, writer, author, Kristen Tiber. And so Kristen's new book, it's awesome. I'm just going to tell you right now. And she sent me the book. I was able to preview it ahead of time and love it. And I think what's so interesting about Kristen's story is that she actually used to be a wedding planner. So you know she has seen all kinds of circumstances and situations. And so I love that this was on her heart. She had told me about it, sent me the PDF. I was excited, started to read it. And my oldest started he's a senior. So he started his senior year of high school this year. And he's not dating now, but he does have girl friends. And I will admit, it's not something that we've parked on consistently and continually a ton. We do have open and ongoing dialogue about the value and the dignity of the human person, the purpose of dating, the genius of femininity and respecting women, the sanctity of marriage, all of that. But I think what Kristen does that's so needed is really take you on a journey of how God created dating and what our role is, not only as parents, but as a young man and a young woman searching for the person that God has put on earth for them to love. And so she takes us on this trip. It starts with Genesis 24, Isaac and Rebecca, and how to seek and find and fall in love with in a godly way this spouse, and how before you can do that, before you can truly fall in love with the person God created for you, you need to fall in love with God. It's really, really good. And again, her website is Kristen Tiber. Let me spell her name. It's KristenTiber.com. And all of this I'll link up in the show notes. But thank you again so much to Kristen for offering that free parents pack exclusively to Good Things Radio listeners. And so you can get the book and that parent pack on her site. And actually, while I'm at it, I want to point you also, I'm going to link this up in my show notes too. My friend Melody Lyons, she has a website, a blog, theessentialmother.com. It might sound when I tell you the title like it does not at all tie into this topic of dating and marriage and finding the one, but it does. And the name of her current post is called A Catholic Girl's Guide to Unmasking a Predator. Now, given everything that's gone on in the news, our last program, and even talking about a young single woman, it means and we'll say boys too, there are certain tendencies, certain cultural distortions that have infiltrated our psyches and our homes that really have sucked the purity, I guess, out of this process for many people. And so she has a really good, practical, important article right now. If you're currently dating, are you in a relationship? Is your teen girl interested with boys? Are you a parent entrusted with the care of young men and women? And so then she goes on to talk about the guidelines and what we need to know. So I just want to also offer that as well, because I just think it's a good resource. And so we'll link that up for you too.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting. Big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
One of my favorite features on the show right here, because I'm such a word of mouth person. I really trust my friends, people that I know. That's more than anything how I find out about things. And so when I find something, I'm super excited and want to bring it to you. And I actually had to kind of self-edit myself this time around, because there's so many things that I've been finding lately, especially with back to school and evening time, our routine, sitting down with my husband and watching a few TV shows. So the list is growing. But the first thing that I referenced in our last show was a fun collaboration. So I want to spill the beans on that. And that is with Mabel's Labels. This is a great company. They do wonderful things. And I also discovered through this process, co-founded by Julie, a mom who has a son with autism. And that's one of the reasons why I love Mabel's Labels so much, because for Carolina, my daughter, she's verbal. But if someone was to say, who left this water bottle in the cafeteria and it was hers, she wouldn't raise her hand necessarily and say that's mom. online. So things like labels are super helpful at a practical level for her, let alone if you have occasion where your kids are in a school or even in a co-op or a sports team or a church setting where you need the stuff labeled. And Mabel's Labels customizes really cute labels. And I got a middle school pack for my son Garrett. He loves it too because it's kind of older looking. It's got oranges and blues and colors that he likes. Carolina, though, loves the Mabel's Labels because the Dymo label maker that I have for some, I mean, it's good. I love it. And I use it to label all everything like in my medicine cabinet. I have different bins in there, but she likes to peel things off. And for some reason, I think because they stick so well, she must think it's part of whatever it is on her folder or her water bottle. So this year I bought the ultimate back to school pack. I labeled everything. It had a flamingo because she loves that right now. And then this made me very happy. And so I labeled everything. I bought a pack for my son Gus and then Garrett. And the thing about it is that I'm not organized. And so it's actually because I'm not organized that it makes me feel like I'm doing something right. So if you do have a special needs child, I definitely recommend these for sure. Because again, if she leaves something on the bus, whatever, and it's labeled, everyone knows right there whose it is. But the cool thing is this collaboration with Mabel's Labels is offering you 10% off anything on their site if you use the code GOODTHINGS. Easy to remember. Just good things. Punch that into the coupon area. And they have other things. There's clothing labels, bag tags, all sorts of goodies that you can totally personalize. So Mabel's Labels, and I'll link this up in our show note, coupon code GOODTHINGS, and that'll get you a special discount through September 30th. So there you go. The other favorite thing, totally different category, but it's a TV series that I wanted to share with you, is called Sophia. And before I go any further, I realize this probably is not for everybody. Many people might see this and be like, okay, this is really boring. It's all in subtitles. It's in Russian. And there's only one season, which is kind of a bummer because if I'm going to get into a series, I want it to have at least a couple seasons so I can kind of get into it and know that it's not going to end right away. But I think this is really good. And I want to share the premise with you. So I'm reading it now. In 15th century Russia, the last Byzantium princess, Sophia, moves from Rome to Moscow to marry Tsar Ivan III. Destined to become the first influential female figure of the Russian Empire, Sophia overcomes court intrigue and betrayals, helps Ivan consolidate the fragmented country, push Mongolian invaders out, and build the Kremlin, the most magnificent symbol of Russia. Now, what's interesting for me is, well, this is based on a true story, and she, Sophia, was the grandmother of Ivan the Terrible. So I love history, and that's part of the reason it attracted me, and I don't know a whole lot about that side and that time, but it's so fascinating when you look at the faith element of it. And I think that that's a big magnet for me too, because you've got the East and the West. You've got Byzantium and you've got the Roman, the Latins. And so there's really a rivalry there that is shocking. We knew about it. I mean, people died over this, the East and the West. We're united now as the left and the right lung, as Pope John Paul II has said that. And together we breathe as one, even though we're two separate entities. But that was not the case then. So it's really, really interesting. And it, again, is in Russian, so you're going to have to read the subtitles. And what happens is usually either if I can't sleep or it's at the end of the day and I'm turning this on because the house is quiet, I fall asleep because you kind of have to have like a little bit of brain power to watch it because you have to read the subtitles and pay attention. And the names, you know, they're in Russian. So I'm thinking, okay, who's this? And really, Sophia has to change her name. She's originally Zoe, but she's basically forced. She chooses, but you'll see if you watch the show, to be rebaptized and renamed because they would not accept her Latin Roman Catholic baptism in the Byzantine church. And she had to change her name as well. So I had to keep up with all of that. But if you do like history and you're fascinated by religion and the Middle Ages and you like beautiful costumes too, I would say that that's a good one. That's on my favorite things. And I'll just tell you, my husband is a huge history buff and he's not even watching it. And it was the same thing. He was so tired that when he started to watch it, he just kept falling asleep for a few episodes. And I'm hearing him snoring over there. So I think, though, that for the right person, this is a really good one. And I recommend Sophia. So there you go. If you have a show, a shoe, a makeup product, a skincare item, a back-to-school tip, anything that you want to share for favorite things, let us know. Just shoot us feedback at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also on Voxer, you can reach me, Brooke Taylor, and the number one, and social media as well, which is always linked up in our show notes. Thank you for being a part of episode number 147. And this season of Good Things Radio will consist of 16 episodes, one show every Monday, a brand new episode to start the week through December 10th. And in this season, a lot of exciting things to come. On our next show, an interview with the hilarious habited duo, Nun and Nunner. Have you heard of them? These ladies are fantastic. So we're going to share their story, introduce you to them. Also, we have a special giveaway for you and a lot more. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our Podbean patrons of Good Things Radio. If you would like to support the work of this humble podcast, click the link to become a GTR good friend of the show, and it will also take you to the information for Mabel's Labels, Kristen Tiber's book At the Well, show notes, and again, also Melody Lyon's blog post. A grateful thanks to all of our faithful listeners that keep us going on the show, our Podbean patrons, and a big snappy salute to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studio for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire, so for any audio needs that you might have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord's light shine upon you and give you peace. God bless you.